From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Evan Kleiman, and you're listening to the 2016 Good Food Podcast. It's a podcast about pie, a piecast. Get it? It's dedicated to our love of pie, and it's in honor of KCRW's 8th annual Good Food Pie Contest, which takes place at UCLA's Fowler Museum on October 2nd. We're going to take you on a delicious journey in three parts to meet pie lovers, pie eaters, and expert pie makers across the country. Buckle up, fire up your ovens, and sharpen your pie skills. Let's bring on the heat.
In the grand scheme of life, there's only a few categories of food, and pie is one of them.
That's Dan Pashman, the host of WNYC's podcast about all things food called The Sporkful. He joins me to take on that loaded question, what is a pie? Hi, Dan.
Hey, Evan.
Before we start, I have to state a kind of disclaimer. Our discussion is for philosophical purposes only and does not necessarily reflect qualifications for entering the Good Food Pie Contest.
You mean I wore these judges' robes for nothing? I got all dressed up.
First, what are some of the characteristics that you think every pie must have?
Well, the most important thing it must have is a bottom crust. And the bottom crust must hold fillings of some kind. I think those are the two most basic qualifications of a pie.
I love it. I've heard you call it an encasement.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because, like, to me, a wrap or a burrito is an encasement. We don't need to go all the way back into our wrap versus burrito debate, Evan, but a pie to me is slightly different. To me, an encasement sort of completely encloses a filling and is sort of more portable, as I think of it, whereas a pie is sort of more like the crust is kind of like a tray. It's almost like in place of a plate. It's like an edible plate that contains fillings. I don't think you have to have a top crust to have a pie. And so if there's no top crust, it's not an encasement.
Okay. But it has to have sides, right?
Yes. It needs to contain the filling. And some fillings might be more or less viscous. If it's possible for your pie fillings to run off of the crust and hither and thither, well, that's not a pie. That's just sort of like a big cookie with stuff on top.
Okay. Now, do you have an opinion about whether or not the sides must be angled or if they may be straight?
I think they can be straight. I think that's a stylistic difference.
Okay, then it's not a pie.
Oh, why? Why not?
Then it could just be like a cake or it could be a cheesecake, for example.
I mean, all right, we got to unpack that just a little bit here, Evan. Slow down, okay? I mean, I don't really think there's a material difference between the angle of the sides. I do actually think that a cheesecake is a misnomer. I think a cheesecake is a pie, but cake has to have cake in it, and cake is cake. It is a sweet bread-like product that is distinguished from a pie.
I would agree with you about cheesecake because in other cultures, like for example, in Italian, it's called a ricotta pie, but I would like to see it in a pie pan rather than in a springform pan, but that's an actual doer's situation rather than a commentator situation. And I think of you as a food pundit, not necessarily a cook.
That's fair. I will take that label.
Okay. What do you think the difference is between, or do you think there's even a difference between a pie and a tart and a galette?
Well, there is a difference. The question is, are tarts and galettes still pies? I would say that a tart is a pie. It's sort of like a redheaded stepchild in the pie family tree, but it has the basic characteristics of a pie. It has a bottom crust with walls that contain a filling. A galette, I want to say that a galette is a pie. My concern, though, is that once you just start talking about taking dough and folding in the edges and having filling in the middle, now we get into dangerous territory. Why isn't a pizza eligible for your contest then in that case? So many foods could be in your competition if a galette is eligible. So I have real reservations about it.
You know, we had a galette win once.
I know.
And Jonathan was just horrified. that being Jonathan Gold.
Right, sure. No, I mean, I'm sure he's listening to this conversation driving around Boyle Heights somewhere right now, and it's giving him agita as we speak.
But I have to say that I disagree. I think a galette is a pie. I just think it's a lazy pie.
That's fair. I mean, if you want to say that every galette that gets entered in the contest is going to get an automatic minus one because the same level of craft is not required, I'm okay with that.
But then going back to the tart, I would say that a tart definitely isn't a pie. And these are my reasons. Typically, a tart has a very thin crust. And often for a tart, because it's a different shape and it's often baked in a tart pan, which can be taken away, so the crust has to actually stand on its own and not be supported by a dish. Often it is a different kind of crust. It's a shortbread or a cookie crust, which I don't think of as a pie crust. And second, I don't think it has the correct ratio because of this. There's not the correct filling to crust ratio in a tart. It's like all filling and just here's a little crust.
I mean, I understand your argument intellectually, but I feel like the differences that you're pointing to are more like stylistic differences between different types of pie. If you're going to start to say that at a certain point the filling to crust ratio crosses the line on which it ceases to become pie, then you need to quantify exactly where that line is. And that's a hard thing to do. If you're going to say that the exact materials in the crust can make it leave pie territory. I mean, so now a key lime pie with graham cracker crust? What is that? A lot of these are gray areas. And I think that when we seek to make a definition, you know, you have to kind of separate yourself. We have to separate ourselves from the biases that we all bring to these questions of like our personal preferences. For instance, to bring back one of your and my favorite debates, Evan, is a burrito a wrap? You love burritos. And I think that sometimes you let your, with all due respect, I think that sometimes you let your personal preferences alter your more objective judgments about definitions.
I can understand what you're saying. I disagree respectfully, but I understand. However, in this instance, it's called a pie contest, not a tart contest. I always just say to contestants who want to win, not just want to put forward what they think of as their best baked item. If they want to win a pie contest, I just don't think the judges are ever going to choose a tart. However, people are free to enter them. We don't stop them at the entry table and say, that is a tart, go to the back of the line.
Right. You accept all entrants, but they're not all created equal.
Well, I mean, the judges, of course, will bring their own set of biases to the judging process, which is why I'm not a judge.
Right.
What can I tell you? But I do want to say that I believe a key lime pie is a pie, because most of the key lime pies we see at the contest are presented in pie pans. Although I can remember a few that have been brought in tart pans, they haven't won. Neither has a key lime pie, actually. So we'll see. There's always a possibility for the future.
That's right. I just feel like the shape should not be the determining factor. Because if you're going to start to say that it's the shape, it was brought in a pie tin, oh, well, it's round, oh, well, the crust is so thick, then it's like, you know, you're opening up a huge can of worms. Then half the galettes aren't eligible, but half of them are. We need objective criteria.
So tell me about your square pie.
Okay, so my opinion, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Evan. You know, I like to think a lot about where in a slice of pie do you get the best bite? And I believe that it is at the exact spot where the vertical side crust and the outer perimeter of the bottom crust meet. Because you get some crust that has absorbed some filling through gravity. You have some side crust that's a little bit drier and going to be a little firmer, add texture. And then you get some filling in there. That's the money bite right there. And with a square pie, you get more of those bites than you do with a round pie.
That's true. I have to say, having watched the video, and also the fact that you can cut it more easily in a way, describe the differences in cutting a round pie or the square pie.
Yeah, I mean, you could cut it sort of in a tic-tac-toe fashion, and then you get the one for if you have a person who doesn't like crust, a filling person, they get the middle. Or you could cut it a sort of Union Jack style, you know, an X and a plus. And in that case, you will get pretty equal slices with pretty equal amounts of that rear crust-filling combo and more per slice than you would get in a round pie. You get a higher ratio of the bites towards the back of the crust than you do in a typical round pie.
Yeah, I'm a traditionalist, so, you know, of course I'm going to go for the round pie. But just out of curiosity, sometime this summer I'm going to bake a square pie and see what it's like.
I appreciate how open-minded you are, Evan.
Thank you.
I'm curious to hear how that comes out.
Because, after all, there's no pie that isn't an edible pie when it comes down to it.
That's true. I mean, in the grand scheme of life, there's only a few categories of food, and pie is one of them.
Absolutely. If you want a piece of pie personally, if you're not breaking it down as a pie pundit, are you a cream pie person, a fruit pie person? What is your preference?
I love a pecan pie, a fruit pie or a pecan pie. I want some texture in there. I love a crumb topping. One of my all-time favorite pies is like a blueberry crumb pie with a nice crumb topping. And I love really good vanilla ice cream with the pie. So I like there to be some light crunch from the crust, either a crumble topping or a crunch from the nuts, and then the creaminess from the ice cream. And I like my pie room temperature or a little bit cold.
You are my kind of guy. Who knew that we would agree on anything?
There you go. See, Evan, there's hope for us yet.
So the next time you're in LA, let me know and I will bake you my boysenberry lemon quark, which is kind of like a cream cheese crumble pie.
Oh my stars. That sounds amazing. Hang on. I'm booking the flight. Here I am. I'm on my lap. Okay. All right. I'll be there tomorrow.
Before we wrap this up, I want to ask you about hand pies.
Yes. Oh, that's a tough one. Okay, go on.
Yeah. Do you think they're on equal footing as traditional fruit pies?
I think you can make a better case that a galette or a tart is a pie than that a hand pie is a pie. Because a hand pie doesn't have that element of the bottom crust that sort of acts as a tray that holds and contains fillings. A hand pie to me is more like a wrap. It's more like an encasement because it's not like the bottom tray that is filled and then possibly topped. It's almost more like a dumpling or something. I think that making a great hand pie probably has a different set of challenges than making a traditional pie. I don't think the fact that it's smaller should diminish the level of difficulty, but I have real concerns about allowing it into the contest on definitional grounds.
I love this. I feel like we could go on forever.
I know, seriously. How much time you got?
Thank you so much, Dan.
My pleasure, Evan. Good luck with the contest. Keep me posted.
I will for sure. Dan Pashman is host of WNYC's The Sporkful. I baked a cherry tomato pie with a Gruyere crust in a square pan to challenge Dan's perfect bite theory. You can get the recipe and find the official rules for our pie contest on the Good Food blog. Go to kcrw.com/goodfood.
I remember I had a strawberry rhubarb pie in a pie-eating contest in elementary school. You had to eat it with your face only.
That's Mark Schusterman, the man on the keys in the band Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats.
I must have been like 9. Yeah. And I thought it would ruin strawberry rhubarb for me, but definitely didn't. Still my favorite pie.
We asked him to share his favorite pie when the band played a set last month at KCRW. I was dancing till we fly, my whole land of bed. Well, that school pie eating competition didn't ruin strawberry rhubarb pie for Mark, but we decided to ask a competitive eater the same question. Michelle Cardboard Shellesco is 112 pounds and 5 feet 4 inches tall. She's one of the top female competitive eaters in the world. She's eaten all kinds of things in contests, from hot dogs to chicken wings. And today we're going to talk to her about, well, you guessed it, pie. How did you get into competitive eating?
It was a weird story. I have two guy friends who were supposed to eat a 3-pound burger at a local restaurant in Tucson called Lindy's. They saw it on Man vs. Food. But we get down there after about 3 months of them talking about it and saying they're going to try it, and they chickened out. So I decided to make them feel like babies and just eat the burger. The rest is history, I guess.
How long did it take you to eat that?
The first time I ate it took me forever. I ate it when it got to the table, so it was steaming hot. And when you're eating something that's steaming hot, it continues to steam in your stomach. So it's taking a lot of gas room in addition to, you know, the solid food itself. So I think it took me probably like 35 minutes. But now my time for that same burger is down to 2 minutes and 22 seconds.
Wow. Okay. So the fact that you have to learn all of these scientific and biological particulars in order to compete is kind of fascinating. Do larger people tend to be able to eat faster than small people?
It tends to be the smaller ones that are eating faster at our tables. The bigger guys kind of started the game, I guess, when they would put together competitive eating contests and pick people out from the crowds. They always look for that big guy. But nowadays, all of the top eaters are in really good shape. We come from sports backgrounds. We're really competitive. And I think being in shape and being able to have that endurance for 10, 12 straight minutes of just like going all out really is a benefit.
Wow. So weight or gender doesn't really make a difference?
Not really. You know, with some of the capacity foods, the bigger guys, the larger torsos, you know, I kind of like to pretend that that's an advantage and that I'm compensating for my short stature. But then someone like Matt Stoney comes out.
Matt Stoney is 5'8" and is ranked second in major league eating.
He's not all that tall himself and is a pretty small guy. So I have no excuses. So it just comes down to training for any of us. Miki Sudo is ranked number 3 in the world, and she's, you know, not that much taller than me.
Let's get to pie. You placed 4th in the Knott's Boysenberry Festival World Pie Eating Championship this year. You ate 9 pounds of pie in 8 minutes. I don't even think I could do that. Joey Chestnut won, right?
Yep. He is a pretty good champion. He's one of those that trains really hard all year round, and it definitely shows.
How did you prep for the pie eating contest?
For those types of contests, it's important to get your capacity up. And normally what I'll do is eat a ton of really easy to digest food like fruits or vegetables. But I'm also a teacher during the school year. And so I didn't really prep as well as I should have for this last one, which is why my number dropped so dramatically. Sometimes it's hard to sit down with a ton of food and convince yourself to eat it in the name of glory. But then I'll also do a couple practice runs with the food itself just to make sure that, you know, my strategy is solid going into it. You kind of want to figure out how much liquid you can get away with drinking without ruining your odds of winning.
How is eating pie different from other competitive challenges? Are there things that make it more difficult or easier?
It's pretty challenging. It's more of a capacity food. So if you're going in like I did this year with a lower capacity than I did last year, then it becomes really challenging because not only are you eating the 9 or 10.5 pounds of pie or whatever you end up eating, but with boysenberry pie in particular, it's pretty sticky and pretty dense. So any liquids you need in order to get it down, you know, that adds to the space in your stomach that's being taken up. So with something like that, you're eating a ton of food really fast, whereas something like ribs or wings, you maybe walk away with 5-6 pounds of food in you at the end.
Is that what you call strategy foods versus capacity foods?
Yeah, the technique foods like ribs and wings where you're fighting the meat off the bone, you know, slows you down and it becomes a dexterity contest rather than a capacity one. I've done a pumpkin pie eating contest and that's just chugging pie for 10 straight minutes. So it can be rough.
I understand that pumpkin pie used to be your favorite kind of pie.
Oh, yeah. At Thanksgiving, throw a ton of whipped cream on that. It's delicious. But now I leave it for competition.
So when you eat something in competition like that, does it sort of ruin it for real life?
Not really, but I'm not a big sweets person in general. I do like pie every once in a while, but when I'm getting 10 pounds of it in a sitting, that kind of takes up my pie quota for a while.
I have a question I'm sure our listeners are dying to know the answer to. Is the risk of purging higher if you're eating sweet food or savory food?
It depends on the person. For me, that first bite of pie might be delicious, but 100 cups of sugar later, and you might prefer to eat something else at that moment. So it becomes challenging. I don't really ever get to that point where I feel like I'm going to reverse, but the weather will also play a role. So the Elk Grove pumpkin pie eating contest was 90 degrees out one year, and that kind of made me feel a little bit more nauseated than I think I would have.
The judges also look very carefully at the quantity of crust per filling that you're consuming.
Yeah, with all foods, you know, there's different parts of it. When you're eating hot dogs, you have a hot dog and a bun, and for any contest, they consider the whole unit to be every part of it. So if you ate all of the pie and none of the crust, it counts as no pie. So you got to be careful to do both. And that can be challenging in itself because you have that textural difference and one might go down easier than the other.
Is the object to just swallow and to try and chew as little as possible?
Yep. So usually you kind of want to take a bite the size that you can swallow. And with something like pumpkin pie, you might just shove the whole thing in your mouth because there's nothing really to choke on. But once it's in, if I'm chewing, then I'm doing something wrong. Your jaw will get exhausted if you chew like a normal person.
What do your students think of this?
They think it's hilarious. So during the school year, I sometimes run off on the weekend to go to a contest. And first thing Monday morning, right when we enter the classroom, they're like, "Where'd you go? How'd you do? What'd you eat?" So they love it.
It was great talking to you, Michelle. Good luck in your next contest.
Thank you for having me.
When she's not eating competitively, Michelle Lesko's teaching high school math and physics. She heads to the Chacho's Tacos World Taco Eating Championship in the hopes of eating, are you ready for it? 59 tacos in 8 minutes on August 20th in San Jose, California. Now that we've covered competitive pie eating, it's time to get to competitive pie making. Our next guest, Yvette Rahman, has won several blue ribbons at the American Pie Council-sponsored National Pie Championships. Make sure you listen to her carefully, and you might want to take some notes. Yvette joins us today from her own bakery, Sister Honey's in Orlando, Florida, with some insight into how she prepares for the big contest. Hi, Yvette.
Hi, how are you?
First of all, tell us a little bit about your culinary background.
Well, I didn't have any formal training. My mom was a great cook. She was from Jamaica. And so when she came here, she had the task of trying to assimilate. A lot of her food was kind of fusion, Caribbean with American style. And she loved to bake. When she got married, she actually made her own wedding cake. Maybe that was a tradition in Jamaica, but I just loved being with her cooking and baking all the time. That's where I got my culinary interest from.
The first time that you entered the National Pie Contest, had you ever worked in a professional cooking situation before?
No, I haven't. Just at home, trial and error, baking a lot. The great thing about the contest, it tells you if you have some skills. You know, I won the first blue ribbon in 2006, so that was really great. I said, you know, maybe I have something going.
That's really one of the most beautiful things about pie, is it doesn't seem to care whether or not you're a pro or not. I've tasted several pro pies that I wouldn't have a second slice of.
The only distinction between the amateur and pros, you're doing it, I'm doing it now professionally, and I have a shop, so I have to go in that category. And, you know, when you're a pro, you are put into situations where you have to produce a lot and come up with, you know, a lot of ideas. And at home, I didn't think as much about certain recipes. I guess that's why there's maybe an advantage to pro, not that their product is better, but I think they learn more under stress, maybe.
Yeah, and the repetition. I think pros just...
Yes, constant repetition.
Right. So you competed in your first pie contest in 2006.
Yes.
What was it that made you decide to enter?
Actually, I was always watching Food Network at the time. I saw the National Pie Contest and the Great American Pie Festival that they aired one year. So I said, wow, it's so close. Maybe I should enter that. So I did a little bit of research and entered, and that's how I got started, really.
That first year, you say you won a blue ribbon?
Yes.
In what category?
It was for an apple pie. I called it Orchard Fresh Apple Pie. Yeah, that was good.
Did you win the blue ribbon for like the best of all the apple pie categories?
Yes, I did.
Wow, that is so impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they have an apple category, and maybe it's the one that's at that time the most pies entered. So it was very good to be able to win that.
What do you think brought your pie to the forefront? Did you have a particular secret or a way of making the pie?
You know, I think when a pie is being judged, there are certain attributes about it that are important. Say at home, if you love a juicy pie and it's when you cut it, it's not going to work in a contest. So you have to make sure that it's together, it looks appealing, use fresh ingredients. It's not a time to, you know, try to find the cheapest you can find and use fresh. Don't think that you could use bruised apples and it's going to be okay.
When you make your apple pie, do you rely on one variety of apples or do you use a combination?
I use a combination, Golden Delicious apple and Macintosh. But one year I did use 7 different kinds of apples.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't do that anymore, but it was the best tasting apple. So I think variety is good. Different textures, make sure they're baking apples that will hold. And the reason I use Golden Delicious and Macintosh is because the Golden Delicious, it stays firm, but the Macintosh, it kind of breaks down and it acts as a glue, so to speak. You'd get a good tasting pie and a good, easier to slice pie.
So I understand this year you went a little crazy. I don't know how many categories you entered into, but you won 10 blue ribbons, including Best in Show, which is beyond impressive. Which of all of these pies that you made was your personal favorite?
Well, my personal favorite was called Lemon Blueberry Blast, and I like that pie because I really like tart things. And maybe it's because I'm in the bakery all the time and there's a lot of rich cakes and a lot of rich, creamy pies. Anything tart kind of balances it. So,
is it a cream pie?
Well, the bottom is, I had a lemon meringue pie that I make and the bottom is creamy. And then I also had a blueberry cheese pie, which is like a blueberry cream pie. And I thought about, what if I put those two together, sort of? And I could almost taste it in my mind. And when I made it, it tasted so good. So that was my favorite.
So our pie contest here at KCRW is coming up in October. I'm really curious to know what tips you would share with beginners, particularly how you go about prepping for the competition.
Yes, I would say make your pie a few times first. What I do is think about what you're going to make, do some research, see if it's possible, get other ideas, go online, go on YouTube. Say you're going to make an apple pie. How could I make the best apple pie? What are other people doing? When I started out, I used to do that. I used to look at the recipes and pull out what I think is the best thing of that recipe. And then you put it together and you start experimenting.
So once you've decided what pie you're going to enter, how do you go about organizing your time or prepping so you're not completely hysterical on the day of the contest?
Yeah, well, you should start several days ahead. When I was an amateur, and I did that for several years before we had the bakery, when you're at home, everything takes longer. You tend to nurse everything, pamper everything too much, I think. And, you know, when I was at home, I would make like one batch of crusts at a time. Here, I make like 20, you know, at a time. So, and it comes out the same. Don't be too picky. Get yourself organized. See what you could do, what things you could multiply at once, what things you could do days before that won't affect the freshness and the taste. Because if you try to do everything on one day, it becomes a nightmare. And I've had that experience.
Yeah, I mean, this past year, you had to make 13 pies, right?
Yes.
Wow.
So a lot of things I did ahead, the crust, maybe one day. You know, make sure you do your shopping. Shopping takes a lot longer than you think, especially if you're doing several pies. I've experienced no supermarket has everything. So you have to go to several places to get what you need. So you just have to get really prepared ahead of time so you're not frantic like you say in the kitchen.
And you talk a lot about focus and neatness.
Yes. You know, if you're scattered, if you start one recipe and your things are all over the counter or the table and you begin another, it's really setting yourself up for compromising your product and maybe missing something or getting other things into your recipe that you weren't intending on. And it took me a long time here at the bakery to do that. I would say a couple of years to really get organized after I make something. I got into the habit of cleaning up right away and starting the next project. because if you don't, it gets crazy and your kitchen starts to look like a nightmare. So.
But you also say that you've learned that you don't have to be too nitpicky. Like you mentioned that you used to use a ruler on your lattice to make sure
oh my goodness.
Every piece was the same.
It's insane, isn't it? I did. I would measure the lattice strips and, you know, you don't have to do that. You could eyeball it and it's going to look just the same when you're done, depending on what kind of look you're going for. But if you just eyeball it and cut it, you know, it saves a lot of time. Because if you're measuring, it's very nerve-wracking.
Do you have any tips on what to do if perhaps you're running a little bit behind and you need to speed things up?
Yes, actually, it depends. Sometimes it's what you're making. And when you're under pressure, sometimes here, like I have orders to do and the clock is running, you learn, how do I make this chill faster? How do I get this done quicker? Because at home, it's say I was making my chocolate cream pie when I was an amateur and there was a ganache. My instructions were to put the ganache in a refrigerator until it would get to the right consistency. And that would take hours sometimes. So, you know, when I was here, I was like, I cannot do that. I have so many chocolate cream pies I have to make. I said, okay, I'm going to get a full sheet pan. I'm just going to spread it on there and throw it in a freezer for like 5-10 minutes. Done. And it's at the consistency you need.
And you always have help when you go to the contest. You always have support, right?
Yes. My husband and my kids actually come and help. Well, my husband, every contest, he helps me. And transporting the pies, that's always nerve-wracking, you know? You know, we have to think how we're going to keep them cold. And he's always there to help us and help me.
All good tips. Well, thank you so much. What a treat getting to speak with you.
Thank you.
That's Yvette Rahman. Taste Yvette's winning pies by making them yourself. Find a recipe for her lemon blueberry blast pie and additional contest hacks from Yvette on the Good Food blog. Go to kcrw.com/goodfood. Well, that's it for the first episode of our podcast. If we've revved up your competitive instincts, then go for the gold, I mean blue ribbon, at our 8th annual Good Food Pie Contest. You can register, see who our judges are, and find out more info in general at kcrw.com/pie. Tune in August 24th for the next installment of the PieCast, where we break down the backbone of the pie, the crust, of course, for you, our lovely listeners. Thanks to everyone who made this week's PieCast possible. That's Jackie Liu, Abby Fentress-Swanson, and our highly capable engineers, Joel Stein and Ray Guarna. I'm Evan Kleiman. I'm the Chief Pie Eater.